Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I love hearing that. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Ezra Hoover.
And this is Double Take. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't be having a war movie for the show. But because I know that you have a very dynamic family, including a nine-month-old lovely lady named Zoe, I know that you always can't get out to theaters.
No.
So I scoured what might be good for you on Netflix, and I found it, well, War Machine.
Thankfully for me, there's a lot of big-budget streaming movies out there, so some good couch material.
It is. War Machine.
A somewhat surprising film. When I saw the poster, I thought that it was going to be War Machine from Marvel. I don't know if you know that, but Iron Man has a similar machine guy named War Machine, who was played by Don Cheadle in the movies. So it wasn't that, unfortunately.
Oh, I forgot that. That was his name.
Right. And then I watched the trailer. I thought, okay, this is just kind of a standard war movie. But it's not either, is it, John?
It isn't. Actually, it is much more interesting than its title means.
Yes.
And I would have to say that the one war machine in this, I wanted more of.
Yeah.
Even though it had a little bit of a...
Well, there's at least two war machines, John. And I think we can talk about them.
Oh.
Which perhaps could... Depending on your viewpoint, maybe a pro or a con of the movie, but one of the war machines, besides the big robot, is the United States Army. And boy, do they want us to join.
Now, you think I ever thought about Rangers? I had no idea. I know the Green Beret. You know, I know standard stuff.
Yeah.
But Rangers?
I think every guy wants to be a special force agent, you know, right? But the kind of... cleaning up of the military and how the promotion of that branch of the military and how everything's so clean and everyone's having a great time. And
yes,
it has very strong recruitment vibes to it. And it's very
really
strange.
Did.
It's a bizarre movie. It's kind of like an army recruitment video combined with a sci-fi movie.
Yes.
And also with really intense gore at the same time, which is very strange because the monster is, not the scariest thing in the world, but there's guts and there's charred bodies everywhere. It's a bizarre combination for me.
It reminded me a bit of Star Wars in some of the elements of that.
Yes.
This who would ever put this lumbering machine in war? It looks so vulnerable to me.
Well, right, and that's another big knock against the movie. This thing is a giant space machine that's chasing them, but even the characters in the movie admit that it's so banal looking that they think it's just from the government.
Right.
It's so boring they don't think it's an alien until they're proven the other
and
way.
And we are reminded by Dennis Quaid, probably.
Yes.
Who is aging.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's still got his own charm.
He does.
Anyway, we're reminded by one of those, the upper master sergeant, whatever, that every machine has its faults.
Has its limits.
Yeah.
Right. They repeat for us multiple times.
Oh, that's our hero who recognized that.
Yes.
And tell me about him. Who is this guy?
So he made me excited to watch the movie. Alan Ritchson.
Yes. Yeah.
And he may not be on your radar because you're not a TV guy, but
I know Reacher.
Yes.
I knew that.
Yes. That's what he became famous for. He had some other roles before that, but Reacher is what kind of catapulted him into his fame. And I thought he was miscast, personally.
Ah.
Because he is such a huge human being. He
yes.
is very large. And that's one of the kind of central focuses of the TV show. He's such a large, lumbering man, but he's smart, too. So people underestimate him all the time.
Yeah.
Here, no one ever even comments on the fact that he's 300 pounds of solid muscle and he's, towering above. No one says anything about it. It's very distracting.
To me, it was very distracting. When you got all those recruits together,
right.
he's standing like at least one head above anybody else on that.
And remember, the sergeant calls him into the office to give him a dressing down, and he gets upset and he stands up. He looks like he could just rip him in half with his bare hands.
And actually, he's only 6'3", by your index.
Yes,
he's shorter than you are.
Yes, he is only 6'3", but they make him look really large.
I know they do.
I think I read that he's probably about 275, 280 pounds of muscle. He's a large guy.
He is of muscle.
Yes, and I do like him a lot. I think he's charismatic. I think he's a good actor. But there's a scene in the movie where he's frustrated trying to climb up that muddy hill. You know, he's covered in mud and he's just screaming, this primal scream. I think he needs to be a bad guy.
Hmm.
I would cast him that way. I think he'd be much scarier that way.
Well, I'm less demanding than you.
Okay.
I thought that it worked well, metaphorically.
Okay.
He was bigger than anybody. He had more ambition in some ways than many. And because he had his brother, and his brother died on him, he had to fulfill the promise of going over the line.
Yeah. His dying brother's wish was to join the Army Rangers, right?
Yeah.
And his brother is killed in front of him. Which
that was pretty quick.
Very quickly, within the first 5 minutes.
What did they say, incoming?
Yes, incoming. Boom, and then there's bits of his brother everywhere. He himself admits on screen that he cannot sleep at all. He clearly has PTSD, which is not dealt with at all. So they let him join anyway, and he makes it. And then the final scene, you remember the final scene? He immediately redeploys. He goes on another mission. Yeah. And can we deal with his... Yeah. His inner stuff at all, that made me very uncomfortable.
But he is right on the line, 43. We're reminded that, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay,
he's an old man.
He's an old man. Before he expires.
So much of this is just extreme. It's comic book type. But you know something? I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think if you kind of just turn off your analytical part of your brain, I have praise for the CGI. I thought the visual effects were quite good.
Yeah.
It was shot in Australia, actually.
Okay.
Southern Australia. Some of the background is real, but a lot of it seemed like it was stitched together. But I thought it was a good-looking movie.
The monster. Like him, there's some comparison between the lumbering, powerful, vulnerable.
Yes. And that's another reason why I think maybe he wasn't the right... Because he's so large and powerful, but this machine, he might as well be the same size as everyone else, right?
Yeah.
Right. What did you think of that? Did you get T-Rex vibes? The monster? It's a two-legged monster. They're doing the ground-shaking thing. Boom.
Well,
boom.
As a matter of fact, I did.
Yeah.
And the reason I did is that I just finished Netflix's The Dinosaurs.
Oh, did you?
Which is too soon for Zoe, your daughter.
All right.
She's a little young for that at 9 months. But I'll
sneak some in.
Any kid I know, I would show that movie to. It's Steven Spielberg produced, and it goes lickety-split. They are at the extinction of the dinosaurs. Like the beginning of the universe, nobody can really nail it. The monsters are already forming.
Mm-hmm.
They're forming. And you want to say to yourself, well, gee, I'd love to see how. How does something like this, how does T-Rex evolve?
Right.
And who are these clowns that deny evolution?
And if they have an itch, how do they scratch it? Such short arms, you know?
I know their little arms have always been comical, haven't they? Oh, dear. So talk to me about this as a movie that you would recommend to anybody.
If you enjoy just mindless, I don't want to say mindless, but nothing too deep. Right. There's some good visual effects, some good action, and a likable lead. I think it's watch it on the plane or something. Be good.
Yeah, and it's good. You're reminding me of a prejudice that I have that military people might not be big thinkers. But I do remember when they called me and I took my bus ride to Baltimore to be inducted.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, if I have to spend 2 years with these clowns, half of them couldn't pass.
You're reminding me of there's one female in the whole movie.
Yes.
And she used to work.
Shaved her freaking head.
Right. But she keeps bringing up that she used to work at the Department of Defense. And she's, no, they're great people. They wouldn't do this.
She's good. I noted that. They did a good job. All right. So Ezra Hoover, tell me what you advise.
Put it on in the background and watch it. If you are a fan of Reacher and you want to see more of Alan Ritchson in a big screen role, I think it could be a fun time.
Yeah, I have no interest in it other than I wanted to find something for you to do. And I have to say...
Don't tell them that,
right?
John.
No, and I want to tell everybody that I actually enjoyed it. I got my little phone. I was in my warm bed.
Yeah.
And I was watching this.
You watch it on your phone?
I did. And
that says all you need to know, ladies and gentlemen, about this movie. I was going to ask you, do you ever even watch that TV there? Do you use it?
Where?
Isn't there a TV somewhere? Oh, you don't even have a TV. Okay. That explains why you don't want to watch streaming movies. I get it. On your next, the next time we're at Carbines or wherever, I'm going to bring you a giant TV as a present.
Oh, my God.
80 inches.
Oh, all right, Ezra Hoover, we're talking about War Machine. Really, we both have noted that the central character is a lumbering 6'3", almost 300-pound behemoth. And I have to admit that I like him.
Yeah, he's likable.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. There are a couple of stars, I think more common now compared to the classic days. There's not too many black and white films where there's a giant bodybuilder on screen, with the exception of maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger, Stallone. That wasn't black and white.
Who's the first of all these muscle-bound
I think the
big guys? It can't be Stallone because he's only about 5'9".
He's not very tall.
No, he's not.
It was short. I mean, it's Schwarzenegger.
And Schwarzenegger is about a six-footer, right?
No, he's tall. I think he's 6'2", maybe.
Okay.
He's a big guy. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I think he's the prototypical Conan the Barbarian. Is an absolutely ridiculous, troublesome movie, but he grabs you, and he is that character.
Yeah.
You know, there's very few people where their muscles are the main draw of the movie. So the modern version of that would be probably Dwayne Johnson now or something.
Yeah, and he's my choice. Okay. Of your big guys.
Really? You like him?
I like him.
Okay.
Point. Well, first of all, as I was reviewing this, I think he had the highest salary of a first-time lead in a movie.
Yeah. He's just cashing in big time.
Over the years, he has made more money than anybody.
Yeah, I believe it.
It seems to be in a downturn now.
He has made so much money, he doesn't need any more money, right? But the one thing that he has not achieved is actually some sort of acting award, which he may not deserve. He took a shot. You like Wrecking Machine. Is that what it's called? It's the one where about him in MMA. Didn't you watch that one? Okay. Well, he portrayed, it was based on a true story about an MMA fighter, and he put on prosthetics to look like this other guy.
Okay.
He was really ready to get the Oscar. He didn't get it yet. So.
Well, just to fill you in,
yeah.
$5.5 million paycheck for The Scorpion King.
Oh, yeah.
In 2002.
That was his, okay.
He earned him a listing in the Guinness Book of World Records. His salary was the highest for any actor receiving top billing for the first time.
And that was his breakout role, I think. And he was perfect for it. Yeah. You know, he's got the look, he's got a tan, he's big, he's muscular, and he really made that movie.
A great smile.
Yeah, but now we're at Jumanji and Jungle Cruise. And
Actually, he wanted to play the title role in Jack Reacher.
Oh, God.
In 2012.
Could you imagine?
He was passed over in favor of Tom Cruise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's the problem, though, with when you're that large. It's kind of distracting because he's rather tall and large, too. And it creates framing challenges.
Yeah. You know?
Just like with Tom Cruise, it's the opposite problem. They put him on a little box to stand on.
I know they do.
What do you think of Jason Momoa? Aquaman.
Yeah. Where is he these days?
The last I saw, I think he's doing an Apple TV program about Polynesian history, this fictionalized story of some Polynesian king or something. But he's basically given up, and he's not even in shape anymore at this point.
He was pretty big.
His breakout role was as Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones, which is another basically marauding, barbarian type role. And he was excellent. And he just yelled in other languages, and he really embodied that character. But
it's interesting because I like him because I think he has intelligence, and I think he has underneath it a recognition that all this stuff is absurd.
Yeah, you get that feeling from him. But it's tough. Do you, as an actor, you have a choice? Do you take the contract that's guaranteed? Do you take the Minecraft movie and just get a guaranteed paycheck, or do you try to start diving into these weird movies? Robert Pattinson did that. After Twilight, this huge success, he was so embarrassed to be a part of it because he wanted to be a serious actor, and he just kept turning down all these roles where he'd be typecast and taking this weird stuff until now he's a real serious actor.
Yes, he is.
He's in The Lighthouse, one of my favorite movies ever.
We both love that
weird movie.
Whacked out, man.
He did a great version of Batman. Okay.
But he's coming out within a week or two.
If he's in it, I'll go watch it.
I had some here for Dwayne, for The Rock.
Okay.
And there was a movie that came out in 2024, mm-hmm. just about a year to two ago, called Red One.
Okay, yeah.
Big bomb.
Oh, I mean, huge bomb.
It's a hydrogen bomb.
Huge acting. Bomb.
And they gave him.
And they paid him
incredible.
Out the, oh, yeah.
They gave, the movie itself was $200 million, and I don't know what they gave him.
And I hear that he, his publicity team, will argue against any script. He cannot be typecast in a negative light, ever. He always has to be positive role. So he's a bit of a diva at this point, but, you know, he, if you put him in a movie, people will go watch it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He also is in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I guess I know. So. Can he fit in the cars? I don't know.
All right, give me another big guy. Do you...
So not big, but incredible physical presence.
Yes.
Andy Serkis. So he
yes.
the motion cap actor for Gollum, as well as Caesar in the Planet of the Apes. He's gotten awards for his physical portrayal. It's not even his face.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
just his body motions are so incredible.
Yeah, and you're not talking bulk.
No,
talking elasticity.
Yes,
and he's a great example of that.
Yep. How about the actor in Frankenstein?
Oh, Jacob.
Jacob Elordi. Yes.
Yes.
He's tall, big, tall guy. And he was squatting and folding himself into all sorts of positions in that movie. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Keeping him in the dungeon. That was impressive to me.
Yeah, it was. And then he moves to Wuthering Heights.
Yes. I haven't seen that one yet. But
well, don't bother.
Okay.
It's half a movie of kissing.
There's a lot of
now kissing Margot Robbie is
very
not
lustful.
Bad. Right. But the last part of that movie, that poor guy. That's why I say for The Bride, exclamation mm-hmm. point.
Yes.
When you have a fine actor going through that, and they're not emphasizing height mm-hmm. on him. They're emphasizing humanity. They've got his face all
scarred up.
Yeah. And wired and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But he's actually... darn good.
Yeah. What a treat. How many Frankenstein movies are we going to get in the last 5 years?
What do you think Mary Shelley ever thought that she was just, it was just a game for them?
I don't know.
Hey, Mary, write us a story. She writes a story, and how many iterations of that? Well, we
she
talked
is
about that.
Posthumously rolling in riches.
She is.
Her estate. I'm sure she has an estate.
A few days ago,
mm-hmm.
we had the Oscars.
Yes.
So you have any thoughts? I'm not saying that you've seen them all, because I know you couldn't possibly. And I'm wondering if there's anyone you want to say something about. I certainly have plenty to say.
I'm glad Jacob Elordi got his nod as Best Supporting Actor.
Yes, right,
which
right.
Which is fantastic.
Yep.
I have not gotten to see One Battle After Another yet. I really would like
to. I predicted it would take it, even though Sinners was a behemoth.
Yes, yeah. I did like Amy Madigan's performance in Weapons.
In Weapons,
yes.
Good little film.
Yes.
Yes, I did too.
A good horror flick.
There when the kids are running through the houses, I think it's one of the great, great
incredible
scenes. Yes.
I've never been so disturbed and horrified and laughing my ass off all at the same time.
And I want to put another plug in for Ham Now streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter in Sun Valley...
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's the mother of the number one skier in the world today.
Oh, yeah.
He's the number one of the Freeride World Tour Championship. He's the lead going into the final in Switzerland.
That's exciting.
In a week or two. So that daughter, who's not a dummy,
mm-hmm.
she played the final scene in Hamnet twice.
Wow.
I have to say, I told her this scene is a tour de force.
That's
the
incredible.
Last 15, 20 minutes of it. And she recognized that, and she saw that again. I took a bunch of women when I was in Florida.
Okay.
All crying.
Crying?
Oh, yeah. This is a tearjerker. So you say you will see it.
I will. I promise.
Right. Okay.
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
And
best visual effects for Avatar? How could it not, right?
I know.
Come on.
Doesn't get any other nods.
It had 10 years to make it, right?
No other nods.
I know. No other nods.
And F1... For what was it, for sound?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because otherwise F1 does not deserve to be.
Well, there's two racing movies right at the same time. I think they're in the theater at the same time, weren't they? Or very close.
Cinematography, Sinners is so filled with good images.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
And,
it was. If only they picked someone else.
Yeah. And then I have to give another plug for Netflix, Train Dreams.
Train Dreams.
All right, there you go. If I hadn't done the show before, yeah. I would have had you see that.
Train Dream, okay.
It's a beautiful, Joel Edgerton.
Okay. He's a great actor.
If you get a chance to see it.
Why don't you let me do that
And
one,
I think though. Adria would actually like it, too.
Okay.
And his wife is played by Jesse Buckley.
Jesse Buckley, okay.
There you so go. You can tell I'm in heaven. One more. We've already mentioned Michael B. Jordan as the winner and best actor. People get a chance to see The Secret Agent.
Yes.
They will like Wagner Mara.
I bet. I'm definitely going to watch that one.
Yep. Okay.
I'm surprised Begonia isn't on here for any of these. I really enjoyed that movie. It's such a weird
movie. You know, I have not seen it. You're recommending it.
You're going to love it. It's
I mean,
so
Emma Stone
weird.
Is worth seeing.
Yes.
Oh,
she's fantastic. Emma Stone with a shaved head, no less. It's almost Anne Hathaway and Les Mis theme, you know.
Oh,
vibes.
Yeah. I hate that when they do that. Well, we had the single lady in our War Machine
with
a shaved head.
With a shaved head, right, yeah. right. The people at the DOD are nice people, John. They'd never do something like this.
They would never.
And what are your thoughts on watching a movie like this in the middle of an actual completely... arguably unnecessary war.
Yes, yes. Good
I felt a little good gross effort. Watching the movie.
A couple of things. First of all, I thought that war is inevitable. It seems we cannot get out of it.
Well, it's super inevitable if one guy can just start one whenever
well,
he wants.
And there's the absurdity of it, and there's the danger of it.
Right.
It can be out of control, easily out of control. Mm-hmm. The second was, even though exaggerated, I did like the devotion of our protagonist in War Machine. I liked his attitude. I liked the fact that he was troubled by the death of his brother. He couldn't help.
Yeah, could you not be, right?
And I liked the fact that he resisted being a leader. I thought there was something very strangely good about that.
Yeah, they never really explain why, but maybe he didn't trust himself because of his PTSD.
Exactly, they did not. And that's one of its flaws, is that it doesn't get deep into that. It doesn't even get deep into Dennis Quaid, who's got so much going on, so many wives, and so many pain.
John, I hate to do this, okay, but Dennis Quaid, there's a line at the end of the movie where he slaps the logo on his shoulder, and he goes, "Welcome to the regimen." No, Dennis, it's regiment, not regiment.
Is that right?
Yes, he says regiment at the end.
No.
And they left it in the movie. That's
great.
That's what kind of movie this
thank
is.
You. See,
maybe he did it on purpose, signaling how stupid the whole thing is.
Well, yeah, and that's why you're here, because you can find stupid anywhere.
God.
As a physician, as you help me to stay in this world a little bit longer, I find that I like your insights, but I also like your sense of humor. Those are a couple of things that I saw. I know what they were doing. I know they were going to try to recruit us, or trying to recruit you.
I already sent in my applications.
Yeah, right. For a ranger school.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think that they probably were taking weights on the pool.
Yeah.
They had some stuff there, and I said, oh, my
That's
gosh.
It's pretty cool. Yeah,
wow.
They make them do that. They essentially just make you experience drowning to see if you can handle the psychological aspect. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and you're crawling through a trench, and they have a big hose on you.
Oh, yeah. That's real stuff. The log that you got to hold and everything, so...
And then I really liked when they call out the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a name in this. You're a number.
Right.
They call out the numbers and tell them to pack their stuff and get out because they didn't make it. I mean, there is nothing.
See, John, I was trying to behave myself, but you're calling stuff out now, okay? So now I'm also going to bring up the fact that there was one woman, there was one Asian guy, one Latino guy, and one black guy. Exactly. One of each. Yeah. Yes, like the Power Rangers, basically.
Well, you established the absurdity of it all. And I think we both enjoyed the film, War Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect any more, but there are some hidden philosophies here. And the one that I like is, for all of these Green Beret-type stuff, there is something that is probably pretty good about their aspirations, even about the way in which they punish the body.
Yeah.
And it seems to me it takes it to where the body might sometime go,
right?
And you'd have to be better for it.
Well, I think the most intriguing thing about this sort of training is the way that you can push the body past its limits. You know, they keep these guys up for 3 days straight, and you get one nap for 10 minutes standing up, and they make it through.
Yeah,
and they're different afterwards, and it's just incredible what the human body can do. Yeah. But they don't really focus on any of this stuff.
And then you can grow up and be Dennis Quaid.
Another thing, they want war-torn, cool-looking Alan Ritson. You can't have stubble in ranger training. You cannot have a beard.
Oh.
And they all have beards.
Oh.
Stupidity. Well, most of them are clean shaven except him. Why do they let him give him a pass? You got to shave, buddy.
Because he's so big.
Oh, we ripped the razor out of their hand. No.
Anyway, Ezra Hoover, the movie is War Machine. It's available on Netflix. We don't necessarily advise you to see it, but if you
it's free.
It is free, and actually, it is enjoyable.
Yes.
But I think, like you, they have to have a sense of humor when you see it.
Yes, and turn off your brain.